Rachel Zellers, thank you for joining me.
Oh, I'm happy to join you again.
So have the offensive names been changed?
Well, the names themselves haven't been changed. They're still in the deofficialized, holding pool, if you will. And the process to change the names is a pretty long and protracted one, and it means organizing a number of Black scholars here in the city to work together to create a proposed list of changes that honor some of the folks that lived and died around those sites. And it's a work in process.
So the Toponymy Commission has accepted the contribution of Black scholars here in Quebec?
that's generous. Not outright. There's still quite some contention that I foresee in the long haul for these name changes. The first is that one of the first efforts that I led after the deofficialized announcement was made by the Toponymy Commission was to organize over a dozen local geographers from both the English and French universities and insist in a letter, an open letter to the Toponymy Commission, that as geographers, not only do they support the proper name changes, but they also demand that the name changes be made by scholars who have a background in the history of Black life in Quebec. And the Toponymy Commission has remained consistently silent, both in response to my letters and has not responded to the letter that this group of geographers collectively sent. So my work on the outside has been to really speak to folks in the community who are more knowledgeable about the history of this place than I am, and begin one by one approaching them to see if they would be willing to come to the center of a renaming process, a renaming committee, if you will, to propose a list of names to the Toponymy Commission. The protracted process exists in the fact that, you know, even after we get together and work together to create these names, I foresee that we still will have to create other areas of solidarity in the city to insist that the Toponymy Commission actually uses the names that we recommend. It doesn't have to, but that will take some work and greater solidarity when the moment comes, certainly.
Now, last summer, Don Phillip, director of the Black Coalition of Quebec, said he was not in favor of dropping the names. He said that it wouldn't really advance the interests of Black people in Quebec. What do you say to this view?
I disagree, and I've had a number of conversations with Black elders in Montreal about this very point. The issues of disagreement tend to sit on two very different prongs of opposition, if you will. The first is that there's a fear that in changing the name somehow history will be lost. And then the second argument that I've had a lot of time to talk about with folks is the issue of violence. And it's the argument that there's actually more need it's better to leave the symbolic violence that's attached to some of these sites than to have it erased completely. And I've disagreed on both grounds. I disagree on the point of history because there's nothing about leaving these places named as they are that tells us anything about the history of those places. That's the point about the naming. In addition to the violence of the name, we don't know the history of those locations. And leaving an offensive and harmful name in those places doesn't further tell us anything about history. It simply preserves that icon, that image, that representation of Black life, which is a form of violence in itself. And the point about violence is probably most close to my heart because I believe that anti-Blackness and racism in the context of anti-Blackness is a pervasive, permanent structure. It doesn't shift and change readily, and I see it as not, you know, disappearing anytime soon. However, and I thought about this a lot when the United States was engaging in its own debates around the Confederate flag. When particular places have traditions of violence attached to that city, that community, and particular histories of erasure, of black life, of black history, of the existence of black peoples in a particular place, there's something even more violent about leaving a name like nigger or neg attached to place names as a representation of black or African or Afro-Canadian or African Quebec or whatever the term that is less offensive actually is. And I thought about this young woman in South Carolina, Bree Newsom, who climbed the flagpole to remove the Confederate flag from flying over the state capitol. And I thought, similar to the issue that we have here, Bree Newsom was not pulling down this offensive symbol for the point of eradicating white supremacy in South Carolina, nor was she pulling the flag down to somehow conceal the history of slavery or the Civil War in that place. She was simply pulling down the flag because for her grandmother and great-grandmother, for whom the Confederate flag serves as an enduring symbol of violence, it makes sense to do that, to create less harm in the lives of people before her who have lived through traumas that she does not currently carry in her body. And I think of, you know, these place names similarly here. There's something greater in the freedom that we imagine as black peoples who are so varied in this place. There's something greater in the freedom that we can imagine beyond keeping these names attached to the place and struggling in a very different capacity to create names that really honor our dead and our histories than leaving these names. There's a greater freedom that we have yet to imagine. And for me, that's the point and lesson in Bree Newsom's efforts of bringing down the Confederate flag in South Carolina.
Do you have any ideas yourself? Do you have any suggestions? Can you give me an idea of what would be, how you would capture all of this in a name? Mm. Let's say what is known as Nigger Rock, which is a place where many black people are buried.
So for me, the freedom is in the process, not simply in the naming of the thing itself. The freedom is in the way that we first imagine what our lives look like here and in being willing to hold on for the long haul, right? This ties back to the point for me, importantly, of how black struggle works. Most of the people that I hold up in my life as personal heroes, Ida B. Wells and Martin Luther King and all of these other names that we know, are folks who died before they ever saw their life's work, their entire commitment and body of life's work, have an end goal or have something formative and pragmatic at the end of it. They died. And so I think about, you know, one of the things that we have to be willing to do in this place in particular is imagine what it means to struggle as a part of a different kind of freedom in which the end goal is not the sole thing that matters. Now, pertaining to those names themselves, I certainly do have some ideas about what they should be or could be. And what I'll say to you now, because we haven't selected a list of names to submit to the Toponymy Commission, is that those names must reflect parts of history that we are not commonly talked about and discussed in this place. They must honor the dead, the black folks that perished and around or next to some of these sites, by simply naming them or choosing names that, you know, symbolize those bodies, those peoples that worked and lived on those lands. Nigger Rock could be, as other people before me have suggested, it could be Slave Rock, and it could signify, in my mind, even better, a history that's connected to that location. Currently in a way that we don't know. Many, 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 I would argue most Quebecers don't know about that history and certainly will not know it through the term Nigger Rock.
And, of course, many Canadians labor under the illusion that there were no slaves in Canada.
Indeed, still, right? So I think, the first point, the starting point is to imagine in this process for me, and hopefully for others, to imagine what freedom looks like when it's part of a protracted, a long struggle. The end goal for me has never been simply naming these things and erasing such offensive terms. That's only part of the struggle. The long-term goals for me have been about what it means to use this as an example to call for institutional investments in the study of Black Quebecer life and Black Canadian life broadly at our institutions, our universities, our colleges, in the form of masters and PhDs. Currently, there are none. And what we know, as I think you and I have talked before about, is that Black studies programs, cultural focused studies, have been around in the United States since the 1960s. We are simply well behind the time in terms of investing in the study of certain kinds of lives in Canada.
Rachel Zellers, thank you for telling me about it.
Thank you so much again. I'll speak with you soon, hopefully.
Indeed. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.